in the temptations. Go to the Matthew account, if you like, in chapter 4. The first thing you notice is the if. So when the tempter came, the first word that he said is if. And he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Now, of course, Jesus had just been baptized and he'd been anointed. So that was a dramatic and mighty thing. And when it happened, what did the Father say? The Father spoke from heaven, didn't he? This is my beloved Son. You know, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. So here's the declaration of Jesus' sonship. So the first thing that is under attack is, all right, if your Son with all this power, use it by your own initiative. So here's stones, turn them to bread. If you're the Son with power, then utilize, function, use the power. Of course, seeking to break the relationship between the Father and the Son, seeking to involve the Son in a work in which he is, yes, preempting God and using the power in a way to manipulate. You see, because as the temptations intensify, you know, all right, the devil took him to a holy place, to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. If you're the Son of God, there's the if again, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In other words, use the power. The angels are underneath you. You know, there's this whole dimension in which, you see, Jesus came to be, he's the Son of God who became Son of Man. He is Son of God, he is Son of Man. What's the greatest temptation to man? When he saw that the fruit was like it was, good to touch, all the rest of it, nice to eat, he wanted to be God. As God, you see. Now the Lord Jesus came to be the man, didn't he? The man endued with power. The man endued with, he's the Son of God. Will he let God be God? Adam didn't let God be God. And the temptations are always on the same line. At their root, they're to do with, will I let God be God, or will I seek to be God? If I've got power, then will I use it to be God? You know? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So that Adam was given all sorts of powers which he misused. Jesus never misused the powers. He only used the power. Well, actually, Jesus never used the power, really. There was nothing utilitarian in which what he did. You know, there was nothing manipulative. They're in a peril. There's a truth in that, and there's an error, you see. Jesus, what's the last thing that Jesus said? You know that Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the king. It reveals Jesus as the king of the Jews. It reveals him as the king. So it has a lot to do with authority. It has a lot to do with kingship. It has a lot to do with the portrait of Jesus as the one who rules. Now, what's the last word of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel? All authority is given. What's the next words? Unto me. Go ye. That's very important. All authority is given unto me. Go ye. So, in actual fact, I don't have any authority in myself. All authority is given unto him. The authority he retains, it is his. So how can I be authoritative? Through my relationship with him, in who holds all authority. Through walking in obedience to him, going where he bids me, in fellowship with him, he retains the authority. So the authority of the church, really, of course, is vested, it's not vested in the church, it's in the Son in the church. Do you see what I'm saying? So the church can only utilize, it can't really utilize authority. It can only exercise authority as it is in fellowship with the Son. Now that's the principle working out with Jesus. Did he turn stones into bread? In a manner of speaking, yes. When the Father told him. When was that? In the wilderness. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. In a manner of speaking, he multiplied bread. When the Father showed him. You know, in other words, he wasn't utilizing the authority for his own ends, in his own times. He was staying in the fellowship with the Father, so as the Father authorized him to turn the loaves into and multiply them, he did so. Now that's the pattern of our lives, so that in one sense the church has authority, in another sense she doesn't. She only has the authority, if we think in terms of marriage, the church being married to Jesus. Jesus is her husband. She exercises authority in the context of her marriage to her husband. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole way that we are to live. And Jesus refused to expropriate authority for his own use. See what I'm saying? Now this ties up with the whole doctrine of free will. See, Adam expropriated his will from its proper relationship in God. True free will is a will that operates freely in fellowship with God. You see what I'm saying? He expropriated his will and therefore his life from God to himself and fell. Jesus refused to do that. Jesus' will as a man was ever operating freely in the whole vast will of the Father. So Jesus was wholly free within the free will of the Father, which is where a true human being should live, you see. Can you see that? Can you understand what I've just... Well, man's will is only truly free when it is doing God's will. Man's will, when God made man, he made man to do God's will freely, to move up and down within all of the vastness of the will of God. What Adam did was that he took that freeness of his will. He took it for his own uses. He took his own life and he separated himself and said, no, I will operate freely within the context of what I want, not within the freedom of what God has decreed for me. You see, you think about all the freedom that Adam had in the garden. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. Think of all that liberty. Go into all the earth, subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply. This is the will of God that was revealed to him. It was also free, it was also vast. And there was one prohibition at that time of that one tree, one prohibition. So Adam's will was entirely free within the context of a vast, the vastness of the Father's will, with one prohibition that was very small. One tree in the midst of... But Adam used that liberty of his within the free will of the of God, and he used it selfishly. He exercised that gift of freedom against God. That's what Jesus refused to do. That's what the devil was tempting him to do. You know, to, alright, you've got this power, you've got this freedom, you've got this authority, the Father's told you that you're the Son of, you know, that in which he's well pleased, you've got the Holy Spirit's anointing, alright, now get on with the job, you know, just exercise your freedom outside of the timings of the Father, of the ways of the Father, just take the initiative yourself. That Jesus refused to do.